whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you through days of toil when heart doth fail. God will take care of you when dangers pierce your path assail. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon His breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Thank the Lord for those promises. My God shall supply all thy needs according to His riches and glory. And one need that He desires to supply is the gospel. Through us, we talked about the concept of missions. It's the work of church beyond the borders of the local church. And well, I thank the Lord for our men that He's brought to us tonight. And brother and sister Knickerbocker, thank you coming as well. And it's been a joy to know Brother Knickerbocker over the years. And in fact, he's going to come first and talk about Help Ministries, and then he'll use the rest of the time. Brother, would you come now?
Thank you, Pastor Goodwin. We're glad to be here tonight. It's good to have a good crowd here on, what is this, Thursday night? Who goes to church on Thursday night? But independent, fundamental, narrow-minded, fundamental preachers, Baptist. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, you could be home watching something on TV, but that wouldn't be as good as being here tonight. And you won't forget what you're going to hear tonight. This is really amazing stuff. And there's a little table back there. Stop and see the pictures. I know some of you have been back there looking at them. That's good. And our fellows are back there after the service, so ask them, what does that mean? What does this mean? They'll tell you all about it. They all speak good English. It doesn't happen every year. Sometimes we have to bring along translators, but all these fellows do very well, and you're going to hear from all of them tonight. Three of them will give five-minute testimonies and just give you a sense of what's going on in their country and what God's done in their lives. And so Help Ministries, H-E-L-P, it stands for Help Evangelize Lost People. And we work in 70 countries in the world with about 600 national pastors. We help them to raise a little bit of support to go back to their countries and train national leadership and start independent Baptist churches. And though you're going to hear what they're doing tonight along that line. And we thank God for the opportunity of partnering with them. So Help Ministries really stands between the national pastor and the local church. And we just kind of facilitate you guys getting together and meeting them. And you know, many of our national pastors are supported for $15, $20 a month, which is really neat because for like $50 to $100, you can take on four or five national pastors, send them to countries of the world that Americans won't go or can't go. And they're not coming home. Amen? They know the language, the culture. They're already trained. They're already in the ministry doing a great work for God. They have prayer cards back there. Pick up one for family, if you would, and pray for them. There's also, we raise money for Bibles for our national pastors, and all of them have said they need Bibles when they go back, you know, and so forth. So these are quarter holders. You put $5 of quarters in here and bring them back. And your pastor already said he wants to use it in the Christian school. That'd be awesome. You can use it for Sunday schools. You can for the Sunday school classes. You can do it by yourself. And bring it, fill it up, bring it in, put it in the offering plate. And they will send a check, add them up, send a check to Help Ministries. And all the money that comes through this goes strictly for Bibles, 100% of it. So pick up some of those on the back table as well. Through the years, I've had the opportunity of sitting down with many of our national pastors and hearing their stories of what God's done in their lives, and then writing their stories down. And it's been my blessing to do that, really. I get the biggest blessing of all. And this is a book that I wrote a number of years ago called Making a Difference Around the World. It's a story of 20 of our national pastors and their story of either salvation or God protecting them from certain death and danger. And one of the stories in here is from a guy named John Smy in Haiti. He was raised with his grandfather, who was a voodoo priest. And when his grandfather, and you have to read the story to find out how bizarre his grandfather was and all the stuff he was doing. But he was a voodoo priest. He was serving the devil. And so the devil makes you do a lot of weird, wacky stuff. But when he died, his grandfather died, he felt the mantle on him be the voodoo priest. And so he went there one day to get some powers. So he had the powers his grandfather had and talk to spirits and call up people from the dead and all kinds of stuff that they claimed they could do. And he walked into this shrine, and usually the spirits start talking and things start happening. Well, nothing was going on. And the guy in charge, the head voodoo priest, said, "You got something on you that's keeping the devils, demons from coming up, the spirits from talking to us." And he says, "I'll be right back. I know what it is." He left. Somebody had given him a gospel tract. And he had it in his pocket. And he took it and put it under a stone and then came back and they called up the spirits. The spirits start talking. All kinds of stuff starts happening just like normal. And he thought, this was the start of him getting saved, because he said, if the name of Jesus Christ on a piece of paper in my pocket can stop the demons of hell from coming up, then God has far more power than Satan does. And that was the beginning. And he got saved. He started a church down there in Haiti. He's working with homeless children and all kinds of things, as most of our men are doing in their countries. And so these are really faith-building stories, good for your kids to read, grandkids and so forth, and a lot of good things there for you. We're going to start tonight. We're going to have two of our men give testimonies, five-minute testimonies each, and then we're going to have all four of them come up and sing in three different languages all at the same time. Okay, sound confusing to anybody? Okay, well, it sounds like it on paper, but it really isn't. And so, Brother Chit, you're going to be first. Now, I've asked Brother Chit he's got a chorus that's very popular among the young people in Myanmar or Burma. And he sings it in Burmese. But the tune is so different. I was trying to figure it out on the piano how it went. And it's in a minor key. I figured that out. But it's hard to follow him sometimes. But it's very unique. And you'll enjoy that. And so give us your testimony, a little bit about that, what you're doing particularly, just what you're doing there. And share that song with us if you would. And then right after him, Brother Samson. Sounds like a strong guy, doesn't he? He's not really that strong. But, well, if he doesn't bathe for 5 days, he gets really strong. You know what I'm saying? But no, I'm just kidding. He doesn't. He bathes regularly. If he doesn't, we throw him in the shower. No. But anyway, Brother Samson, he's from the Philippines. He'll be coming following him. And then after that, all four will come up and share a song for you. Okay, go.
Good evening, everyone. I'm very glad to be here with you this evening. My name is Andrew Ching. I came from Burma. Here in this, the biggest star is a flag. You know, to easily recognize and identify my country, you know, Adoniram Judson, who was American pioneer missionary. Because of his great work, we have a good Bible, and the church has been growing up. So, I was born and raised up in a Christian family, and I belong to the third generation Christian family. In the year 1987, at the age of 18, there was a political crisis in my country at that time. All the student, colleges and schools were closed down. And one night, one Burmese pastor came and conducted a Salvation Crusade. In his crusade, one of my friends invited me to go, and I was there with them. And when I listened to him, I came to realize that I was a sinner, needed to be saved. And he came through a Roman road of salvation. At the end point, he taught us about Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I got assurance of salvation. As soon as I got saved in my life, I surrendered my life to the Lord, and God opened me a way to go to Bible school in India for 3 years. And after coming back from India, I got joined with Bible school as a part-time teacher. Unexpectedly, in 1999, I got married with Rachel. Now I have five children. Two are boys, three girls. One is an adopted child. And I have eight siblings. Most of them are, by God's grace, in the ministry of God. And when we get down to, unexpectedly, our school went down to a capital city, which is 500 miles far from my native place. And as the Lord called me, my wife and I started look for the place where we can do missions. And we choose the place where there's no Christians. So first time when we go around our neighborhoods, and you know, people are walking around having no jobs, and especially children have no caretakers. They are walking on the streets. First of all, my wife gathered them together in one place and started teaching about songs and about Jesus. And while she was teaching, I had fellowship with their parents. And in this way, I have friendship with their parents. Little by little, we get acquaintances with people. And, you know, the first time when we moved down there, that place, the people did not like us. They threw stone to our house, and they tried to put us in jail, and they took us to a local authority. Many times they tried to stop our school. But we prayed, and when we kept praying, God opened their hearts and a place to evangelize the people. In this way, we planted a new church called Mercy Baptist Church. The first time we planted a new church, it was a handful of people. In 2009, I got joined with Help Ministry, and after getting joined with Help Ministry, the church is growing up, and now more than 90 people are gathering together in church services. And at present, I have five children's Sunday school to look after, and two churches to look after. But four young men and women helped me in our ministries. And you know, a couple of years ago, we formed Myanmar Partnership of Biblical Baptist Ministry. Under this ministry, we have one Bible school and one missionary training school. Every year, we have more than 20 graduated students. And we send out 20 missionaries every year in other parts of the country, our country. So the place where we live is a Buddhist country. It has 55 millions of people. It is an agricultural country. You know, once this country was ruled by British government, but when the government did not like the white people, we did not learn English, so the country is not English-speaking countries. That's why we are very weak in speaking English. And you know, in my country, there are many people and rich people. So, in order for us to reach out more people, we need some more missionaries. And please pray for us. Pray for us. Our capacities and our ability is so very little and few. So, please pray for Burma. Pray for missionaries, and please pray for the church. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor. This time I'd like to give a Burmese song which tells us missions. Even if you don't have ability, put your trust in the Lord, and all what you need to do is to be available, to be faithful. And if you follow and obey the word of God, God will give you one day a victory in the land. Thank you. And let me sing Burmese song. Go swame dole the kin tole, to nyap yip yip to no kanai di, si kaya amuro tayue polo di. Atasi dwe go yin sai boya, mo nai lai lo ji dwe cho lo ya, ko am ya yu yue, โยเยยินจาบาโซอ๋อมินจิงโกทายุเต็งปายาอยู่โบเฉยเอาปีงารมยาอายุเยยินจาบาโซตัมมาติยาอไตนดาลาชอเตศีเยตะคินพยาดี Gadiro tayapiego tempaisi mi. Gadiro tayapiego tempaisi mi. Thank you very much. May God bless you all.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Hilario Larry Samson. They call me Pastor Larry. So it's my first time here in America, and I'm very thankful to the Lord. God has given me the chance to be here in America, your beautiful state of Florida. And my flag is here. The color blue signifies peaceful, and the red signifies war. If you put, normally this blue is on top, meaning we have a peaceful time. But during the war, the red is on top. Okay? The three stars signifies the three big islands or the three places in the Philippines. Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. And Brother Chad came from Mindanao, the southern part of the Philippines, the second biggest island in the Philippines. Well, the sun with eight rays signifies the eight provinces supported during the war against I cannot remember if it's Spanish or American, but Japanese, I'm sorry. Japanese. American is always friends of the Philippines. So please pray for us. Okay, my name is Pastor Larry. They call me Pastor Larry. I came in Honduras in 1997. And then in 2001, my wife and my youngest daughter came also. And then the following year, I came back to the Philippines to bring back also my two children. I have three children. One boy and two girls, and I have two grandchildren, one boy and one girl, and they were born in Anaheim, California. Because my daughter got married to a Filipino-American, so they're living in California. Well, I came in Honduras to work in like an overseas worker. I work in a garment factory, and also my wife in a garment factory. And then in 2005, one missionary from Maryland came to Honduras in Central America with another Filipino pastor from the Philippines to visit us, because we have a lot of Filipinos in Honduras during that time. Around 400 or 500 Filipinos were working in Honduras during that time. And then in one gathering, like birthday party, you know, Filipinos like parties. We eat. And so we eat a lot of rice and chicken. And then, of course, we went to a party, to the gathering of the Filipinos. And then one of the pastors, preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there we got saved. Amen? Amen. Me and my wife and my children. And then also a lot of Filipinos got saved. And then the pastor, the missionary from Maryland, sent another Filipino after a few months. He sent a Filipino pastor from the Philippines to start the work, to have a church in Honduras. In San Pedro Sula, it's the second largest city in Honduras. So he started a Bible study, started prayer meetings, visitation, everything, until such time when we started the church. Sunday morning, we have baptism in the sea, and then, in the swimming pool. And then in the evening, we have this first Sunday worship service, Thanksgiving. It was July 24, 2005. And so at the same year, at the same month, we started the Bible Institute in the church. Our pastor is our teacher at the same time. The curriculum we use is authored by American missionary in the Philippines. His name is Melvin Brown. That's why we love Americans. We're not here because God used you as instrument to share the gospel in the Philippines. That's why we are Bible-believing Christians who love the Lord. Amen? And then from 2008, my pastor went back to the Philippines, and then I became the pastor of the local church. The name of our church is Iglesia Bautista Victoria, Victory Baptist Church. And then from 2008 to 2012, I became very busy in the church. I became a Sunday school teacher, everything. You know, a pastor in a local church like in Honduras, you will do everything. Song leader and everything. You are the preacher, you are a Sunday school teacher, and you are the cleaner also of the church. So, God, I thank the Lord, because in 2009, my wife got sick, but she had this myoma, like a tumor in the ovary. Then she went back to the Philippines for medical attention. But now she's okay. After a year, she got the surgical operation, but she's okay now. I thank the Lord for that. And then during that time, we're hoping in 2009, 2010, that God will send back us to the Philippines, because my wife went back there. But God did not allow us for some reasons. Maybe because God wanted to use me in Honduras to minister to the local people, the Hondureños, to share the gospel, to have soul winning there, to have Bible studies there, and God is good. And I'm very thankful for that. And then in 2012, God made a miracle in my life. Me and my youngest daughter, we don't have money during that time, but God provided the money to buy the air ticket going back to the Philippines. To make the story short, we went back to the Philippines in 2012. I became a assistant pastor of a local church until such time in 2016. I became the pastor of the church up to the present. And during that time, I studied my fourth year in Bible College, Landmark Baptist College in the Philippines. This is part of the ministry of Baptist Mission Partners, which is connected with the health ministries. And I became one of the teachers also of this Bible College. This is some near in Manila. It's like in Sucat or Parañaque, very near to Manila, city of Manila. And then during that time when I was a pastor, or when I became the pastor from 2016 up to the present, we had one daughter church, which I pioneered in 2014, and now it's an organized local Baptist church. And then please pray for us. We are praying for more churches. We are praying for more souls to be saved. You know, Philippines has 110, more or less 110 million people, and 80% of them are Roman Catholic. So please pray for us. We have a lot of cults. We have a lot of wrong religions in the Philippines. That's why it's very hard to win people for Christ. Please pray for us. And then also I'm praying for Costa Rica or somewhere in any country in Central America. Maybe God will send me there to be part of the mission or to be a missionary because I can speak Spanish. I was pastoring there for 4 years, so I can speak Spanish and I can communicate with these Spanish-speaking people. Please pray for us, for our country, the Philippines, and for all the missionaries that we have here. We thank you. We love you. God bless you.
Amen. Hey, now they're going to come at this time. We're going to sing a song you may have heard before, How Great Thou Art. Kind of a new song, but no, you've heard that before many times. Amen? Well, you haven't heard it like this before, though. They're going to sing the first verse in English. Now, we Baptists, you know, the charismatics, they speak in tongues and then they try to tell you what they said. Well, we tell you up front what we're saying. We do it backwards. Amen? We give the interpretation before we speak in tongues, okay? So we're going to do it right. But we're going to sing How Great Thou Art, verse 1 in chorus. And then each one is going to sing. Are you going to do two different languages? Okay. So he's got his own dialect, and he's going to sing probably Tagalog, right?
Native language.
And native language of Philippines. He's got a special. There's a, how many dialects in the Philippines?
More or less 50.
Well, 50 different dialects in the Philippines. Yeah, both from the Philippines, both of them. How many dialects in Africa?
In Kenya.
Just Kenya.
43
different dialects just in Kenya. The challenge is there. How many in Burma? 135 different languages there. You see the challenge they have? And they've got to try to get the Bible in these different languages as well. So it's a big job. But anyway, they're going to sing each of them in their own dialect. And then they're going to sing the last chorus in all four at the same time. Okay? So we want to step up to the pulpit so we can get a good sound here. Okay? Just kind of stand around the pulpit, guys. And so everybody's kind of close to it. Handle turned on. It looks like it is. All right. Stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
O Papaya, Genoma Amboya, amazing ka, Kuro Panzin Leta, Nekataya, Mojo Tichung Dam Yapi, Kate Muya.
Bwana Mungu nashanga kabisa nikitazama kama ulivyo nyota nguru vitu vingi vyote viumbavyo kwa uwezo wako
Panginoon Kung aking mapagmasdan, san sinukob na iyong nilalang, mga bituin, kulog sa kataasan, tanda ng iyong kapangyarihan.
Gamha ng Diyos, dakong kahibulungan ang tananin adlaw bulan ug ang kabituunan nagapakita ang ikaw gamhanan
kumayawin na Diyos sa simbol ama dakila ka dakila ka kumayawin na Diyos sa masamba dakila ka
this could sound like that in heaven or not, but I think we'll all seem to be on the same page, though, somewhere along the line. Joseph, come if you would. By the way, some of these fellows speak multiple languages. How many languages do you speak, brother?
Six languages.
You speak six different languages fluently. Brother, he speaks five. Brother who just spoke, Brother Chit, from Burma. The other fellows? Three? Four?
Three.
Three. The Spanish is one of them. A person who speaks three languages is called what? Trilingual. A person who speaks two languages is called what? A person who speaks one language is called what? An American. Right. There you go. We expect everybody to speak English, right? Yeah, we then. Well, we appreciate our brothers here, and Brother Joseph's great blessing. And so share with us your testimony.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Church. I thank God for Health Ministry and the Nation of America. The Lord may bless you. My name is Joseph Njega. I come from Kenya. Kenya is a big country with 43 different dialects. My wife and five children, four daughters, and a boy. In Kenya, I live near Lake Victoria, border of Kenya and Tanzania. This is southwest of Kenya. I live near Lake Victoria, close border of Kenya and Tanzania. I grew up in non-Christian family. I witnessed in a home where I brought up. I'm born among 14 children with one mother. I'm the elder son and I have a brother who is following me. In that home I witnessed when six of my sisters and six of my brothers died every year when my father was offering sacrifices every year with an animal. During my childhood, I witnessed when my grandmother used to hide idols in the corner of her room. I grew up in a home like that. So my sisters used to die. Each one of them used to die above the age of 5 years and above. And also my brothers. So I was very much scared in that home. I remember one day when I was sick, the only solution that my father could call a witch doctor, who used to cut me with a razor blade when I'm naked, three times on the chest, three times on the hand, and this side, and on the leg, when I'm sitting down, and waving the horn of an antelope with some kind of staff inside the horn, waving around me like that, and finally spit on me when communicating with the spirit, the dead spirit, saying, get well. I was brought up in a home like that. So, I was very much scared in my life because my parents were not church-going people. in that village where I was brought up. At the age of 27, I decided myself to go and die away from that home. That's the year I decided myself not to die there. Three ways which caused me to flee from the village, running to our capital city, Nairobi. In the year 1984, I decided to go away from that home. Through three things, I fear the death in my life. I'm running away to go and die very far. Secondly, there was no food in that area because we used to gather firewood on the mountain, then we dry them, is when you can sell them and get your food. Thirdly, I was going to Nairobi to seek for a job so that I can come and help my parents. So when I go to Nairobi in the year 1984, the month of April 26th, I met a man of God. This man was an American missionary called Lonnie A. Brooks. The man led me to the Lord through the simple way of salvation, Roman Road. When the man led me to the Lord, the Spirit of God convicted my heart. That was the period I realized that I'm a sinner. I need Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I welcomed Jesus Christ and I called him openly. So I received my salvation 100% that day. The next day I was biblically baptized. That was the man the Lord opened my way to join Bible school. When it reached the year 1989, after graduation, the Lord called me that I should go back to my homeland. I went back to my homeland. Those people, they think that I came back with a message that I have a job, I'm going to help them. But the Lord sent me with the good news, the word of God. I started to preach to my parents. When you see my prayer letter there, you will see an old man. That was a witch doctor who troubled me so much in that lake region. When I came with the word of God at that home, this man organized a group to come and beat me to death. Because my father was well honored within that area, and he had buried a lot of many children, he came on my side. So that was my open door to start preaching to my dad and mom. Anytime I was singing the song of Amazing Grace with our dialect in the home, my grandmother was very much troubled. She used to flee away because he hid some kind of idols in her home. So the Lord sent me back in a home like that to preach the word of God. I started to preach the word of God in that village, and that is how I came to plant a Bible Baptist church in that village. In that period, it was very tough for me, but the Lord was on my side. I was managed to preach to those people. My relative who lived very far used to come when they heard that Joseph is back. They came to see me, but I used to teach them the word of God. But they were traveling from far places, about 7 to 8 kilometers away. Some travel about 10 kilometers away, walking, to come in that village. That's how I come to preach the word of God within the area. I preach the word of God. The mid of the year, in 1990, I was able to put a building in the home. We started under the tree. I put a building in the home, touched with the grass. In the month of June, that witch doctor organized a group and they put fire on that building. But I thank God that they did not burn the church. The church was people. Yeah. Later on, I organized people. Then we come again and carry on with the work of God.
Amen.
So when I continue with the work of God, during that time, there was no communication at all in Kenya. So I started the work of God, and people were now running to 75. So my friend Lonnie Brook communicated with me by telegram. He heard how the work is going. And the man started a work in Kisumu City. He wanted me to go and help him in Kisumu City. I told my missionary that just hold on until I train somebody who can take care of this church as home. It was so wonderful. After 2 years, my missionary communicated with me again. I already trained a man of God who was my younger brother, who I left at home and went to the city of Kisumu to help missionary start a church in Kisumu. I started a church in Kisumu. Three of us, my wife and my missionary's wife, and we find other three men. In the year 1995, we are running with members 120 in that church of Kisumu. And we have in our children class, that is adult, our children class was 200. So my brother got sick. He came back to the States because of heart surgery. So our church, after that, I organized a church. I left the church under the board of the deacons because the Lord was calling me back to my home area. I went to my home area. I went to the church and I left the church of Kisumu under the board of deacons. The church is going on right now. When I went back home, I served as an assistant pastor of my younger brother. And the Lord called me to those islands of Lake Victoria. At the period of 7 years, I found that I've planted 13 Baptist churches within the lake region and some of them in the islands of Lake Victoria. So in the year 2005, I've thanked God for a help ministry. I joined a help ministry. And the Lord laid a burden in my heart that through these 13 Baptist churches and this region, and we do not have any Bible college close to that area. So I started a Bible college to train these men to plant biblical churches in their areas. So that is how I come to start a Bible school in that region. When you see the chart there, you will see our first graduation, we were able to produce 30 men of God. We helped them to plant Baptist churches in their areas. The second graduation, we produced 20 men of God, which we helped them to plant independent Baptist churches in their different areas. So right now, we have 13 independent Baptist churches across the border of Tanzania near Lake Victoria. Right now, we have 6 independent Baptist churches in the islands of Lake Victoria and other 44 Baptist churches along the lake region. In our Bible school right now, we have a class which is going on, 30 men of God whom we are going to graduate next year, and we prospect 93 Baptist churches within the lake region. My prayer, I challenge one young man that because this nation sent missionaries to Africa, we need to pray for those missionaries because they are doing a great job in our nation. As we come here, we are your reproduction because you supported missionaries. I see the friend of my missionary who led me to the Lord. That missionary was a great man who used to build the house of God by himself. I saw him once in 1984, the month of November, in Gongtown. This was a great man. They left a signature in our major cities. He was in Dhaka. Thank you, great man of God, for your vision to Africa. I thank the nation of America. Please pray for missionaries who are out for the work of God. They are doing tremendous work. In my region, souls are ready to hear the word of God. Your prayer will help me to reach more souls within the many islands, within that region. Those people who cannot speak English, those people who cannot speak Swahili, those people who cannot speak other languages, but the Lord brought me there. I have no apology. God bless you, Pastor. Pray for me.
Good evening. I'm Chad, and then my family name is Mahinay. It means slow, so you can call me Missionary Slow. But I am not slow. Well, I am a second generation fruit also of your missionary. His name is Bob Hughes, who started the work in Cebu City. And my father got saved under that ministry. I am blessed to grow up in a Christian home. And what a privilege to have a father that loves the Lord and a mother that loves to pray. And also not only in a Christian home, but also in a home that servants of the Lord. My father is a pastor. And my mother is a pastor's wife. So I grow up in a Christian home and blessed and privileged to grow up in that home. They have made a wonderful imprint in my life. Their influence and their testimony is so powerful that it keeps me in the way of the Lord. And until today. I surrender myself in the Lord in... that was 1999. And I went into, I camp, and there was a missionary that preached about the book of Isaiah, whom shall I send and who will go for us? I could not just stop it. I said to the Lord, Lord, here am I, send me. I graduated in that Bible school that missionary you started in 2006, and then being part of the church, being assistant pastor of our church. Our church is now 48 years old, and in 2006, we worked together with my father. But my father was promoted to heaven in 2007, got to work with him in the church, became a pastor of the church for 12 years now. Our church is 48 years old now, and it has started in every town in my province. I am in the south of the Philippines, that's why I speak another dialect. We call it Bisaya. And God laid a burden in my heart in 2012 to start a Bible school because God... look across on the islands, near my islands. Philippines has 7,100 plus islands during high tide, but there will be more during low tide. And you know what? These people across are people that are, some of them are Bajau, which is Muslims. These Muslims have been living there in Mindanao for hundreds of years. So they are not radical Muslims. They are Muslims because, you know what, the first people that live in the island of Mindanao are Muslims or Moros. And that's why, you know what, we try to reach them out and share to them the gospel. But I cannot do it alone. These islands, there are many islands, about 500 of them. That's why I started a Bible school in 2012. In 2015, we have 4 graduates after 3 years. 2 become pastors. The other 2 could not be a pastor because they are women. And then today we have more students now in our Bible school. So please pray for me. We started a work Bible Baptist Church in Surigao City. And please pray for the islands that we have. And I'm giving the task tonight to preach the Word of God. I will just preach the whole counsel of God tonight. John chapter 4, verse number 35. Only one verse tonight. If you can stand with me and give reverence to the Word of God, it would be a blessing. The Bible said in verse number 35, the Bible said here, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look unto the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for Pastor and the people of this church. Thank you for their care and their love and their compassion for the mission field all around the world. We praise you, O God. We thank for the salvation. In Christ's name, we ask and we pray. Amen. Amen. Seated. John chapter 4 started with a wonderful story as Jesus Christ was coming from Judea going to Galilee. As they are preparing to go to Galilee, they passed by Samaria. And in this place, as Christ was sitting on the well, there was a woman that is a very wicked woman and living a wicked life. And this woman, just doing an errand on a ordinary day, just goes to the well maybe and take water for their home. But this day is a different day. This day is a wonderful day for her because this day she will meet the Lord Jesus Christ in that well. This woman begins to ask the Lord, "Why are you asking me water? You have no dealings with us. You know what? We don't have dealings with each other." But God said to him, "Woman, give me, you know what, you're looking for water, but I will give you water that you will not thirst no more." Amen? Amen. I thank the Lord, you know what? And we are not thinking, you know, I remember the day that I got saved in a Sunday school class. I remember that day, you know what, when my Sunday school teacher teach us about, you know what, a lesson about hell. And I begin to share about the verses about hell. And I know upon myself, I do not want to go to hell. Do you want to go to hell? I do not want to be condemned in that place, but I will be going there because I am a sinner. But you know what? On that day, I received the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I am a sinner. That day, I found the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him to my heart as my Lord and Savior of my life. And since that day, my life has been changed. There are great changes in my life. And we look upon this woman, you know what? She doesn't know. You know what? Because the Bible said, there is none that seeketh God. There is none that understand it. This woman, for her, is just getting the well. But I thank the Lord that Jesus Christ said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." We are not really looking for God at first. It is God that is looking for us. Some people are looking for God by religion, but some people are looking for God by their good works. But it is not the way to go to heaven. It is God that came down, died on the cross, and gave His life for us. You know what? And this woman, a wonderful day. This is the day of her salvation. And what a blessed thing to be saved. Amen? That's why we are here tonight, praising God. That's why we have missions tonight, because this is the work God is calling to us. I will be preaching a message entitled, "What is Needed in the Great Call for Missions?" After this story of salvation, the disciples is with the Lord. And you know what? The Lord was, you know what, in the Bible said, the disciples said, "Lord, have you eaten?" And they offered him, you know what, food to eat. But God said, "My meat is to do the will of the Father." The Bible said. You know what? It seems that in the story of the Bible, they are not, you know what? They are not on the same level with each other. And sometimes the disciples have been Christians for many years. Listen to me tonight. You may be a Christian for many years and yet lose your focus on the harvest. And not look on that harvest. The Bible said on the next passage of Scripture in verse number 35, I do believe they passed by a barley fields here. You know what? And God is always, you know what, love to use illustrations. You know what, to make us understand. And God said, "Say not ye, look at the harvest. Say not ye that you need still 4 months to take that harvest. Lift up your eyes. The harvest is ready. Take the harvest." And it seems they cannot understand with each other. But God said, "Point to that harvest. Lift up your eyes. Look unto the fields, for they are white, already to harvest." There are three things that we need. You know what? Quickly tonight. You know what? The great need of missions tonight. First, we need to have eyes that sees. Eyes that sees. Oh, these flags have beautiful colors here. But these flags, you need to see, represents millions of people that I do believe have never heard Jesus Christ one time in their life. These flags are not just beautiful colors. We need to see more than the colors of this flag. We need to see more than the culture of their nations. We need to see more than the challenges. Because these flags are ready for the harvest. We need to have eyes that see. I remember our missionary Bob Hughes' story about his life. You know what? This young man, you know what was a young man in one of the churches here in America, and his pastor preached about the Word of God, and his heart was beginning to be stirred. His heart was beginning to be opened. His heart's beginning to see. Did you know what that our hearts can see? We see it through our hearts. And as he begins to see the hearts of men, he begins to look across the other side on the nation, the Far East. He begins to see the islands of the Philippines, which he's not been, you know what, for many years, but I do believe his stories of American soldiers there. But he begins to go with his family, pack up his things, and go across that field. New culture, new food. Everything is new, but those challenges, he said, Lord, I will go, because he see through his heart. The Bible said in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Oh, praying that the Lord will still steer our heart with compassion, still steer our heart with the need of calling, that we need to go and share the Word of God. What do you see? How do you see it? What are you looking tonight? You know what, every time we have been here in a month now in America, and then you have a blessed nation. You have just a blessed nation. You have good roads, blessed foods, and even a 15-year-old girl could cook a beautiful rice food. I enjoy it tonight. Everything is blessed. Everything is push button here. Everything is made to be easy. You have just a top-notch technology here. You are just so blessed, because I do believe it is because of the Lord. You love the Lord. Amen. God raised America as the powerful and prosperous nation. I do believe you have a responsibility. Your greatest blessing to the Philippines is not only the American soldiers, but your greatest blessing to the Philippines is not really the American soldiers, but the soldiers of Christ that goes there and reach us out for the glory of God. But we need to have eyes that sees. We need to have eyes of compassion. We need to have eyes of concern. Aren't you concerned tonight? I love the verse in the book of Hebrews, you know what? Where Noah said, you know what? And Noah moved with fear, with faith, and saving his household because of his faith. We hear stories about Noah's ministries, that he has a ministry for 100 years and just 8, including him. But those people are the most important people in his life. Aren't you concerned about your children or their salvation? A week will be concerned when they will be sick. But they have a sickness like us, and that is a sin sickness. And the only solution is Jesus Christ. Life is short. We need to have also eyes of commitment. In the Philippines, we have balut. I do you love balut. It is our local equivalent for your Chick-fil-A. Yes. But the difference, it is made of chicken, a developed, you know what, chick. And then you cook it. When you open it, the head and the feeders are there. You put vinegar, you eat it. That is Chick-fil-A for us. But it will be a challenge. You may not eat it, but you know what? We love it. It is manna for us. But listen to me. Isn't it God good that God did not see our differences? God did not see our, you know what? God just looked at us as people that He loves and gave His life for us in the cross. There is no difference in the eyes of God. White, black, brown like us, everything is loved by God. But we need to have eyes that sees. Number two, we need also to have hands that gives. Look at your Bible in verse number 36. And he that reapeth, receiveth wages. God is using here an illustration that when you work, you will receive the fruits of your work or your salary. But God is pointing something here tonight. And gathereth fruit unto life eternal. If you will be part of this, you know what? There is more greater blessing, more than the monetary blessing. It is the blessing of the fruit of life eternal. People will be saved. People will be changed. Philippines is 80% Catholic, and they are not just ordinary Catholic. Our Catholicism in the Philippines is more idolatrous. Every city has different patron saint, and they celebrated patron saint. Amen? The Catholics believe of dead saint, but Christians, we believe that we are the living saints of God.
Amen.
But we are part of this labor, and then the Bible said here, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Listen to me, there is a greater thing to rejoice when you experience the joy of a person getting saved. Even angels in heaven will be rejoicing.
Right.
And this joy is not only experienced by the angel, this joy should be experienced by every Christian and every church. And this is the church, the Bible said. And there is that saying, one soweth, you know what? This goes, you know what, through your lifetime. As person will be sowing. Maybe, you know what, there is someone that sows, give you tracts, and you did not get saved by that. There may be a person that shared to you, and you did not get saved by that. But there is always one day that sowing will bear fruit in your life. Because God will never stop working in your heart until such time. God will not force himself to you. You still need to make a decision to be saved. The Bible said here, and it's that one, I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed new labor. Other men labor than you are entered to their labors. I thank the Lord that I can enter into the labor of missionary Bob Hughes, and I continue that legacy, and we can continue that legacy of winning souls for the Lord. But we need to have eyes that sees, and we need to have hands that give. Missionary youth could not enter across the ocean without the churches in America. I remember that missionary youth, he died as a, he did not die, he was not given the privilege to live long. He died with cancer. One day he was brought into a missionary school. I heard about that. And then, he challenged the preachers to the preacher, And then in the preacher, another missionary comes to the Philippines, Rick Martin, who is still there. Another came to Mexico and doing a good work for God. This is God's work. And the people of the Lord have been great by faith. But did you know that you can enter into this labor and be part of the great legacy for the glory of God? I may be in the Philippines, you may not see my work, but that is the work of God, and this is the work of God. And I thank the Lord that we can partner ourselves for the glory of God. But we need to have hands that give. We need to have the faith, and we need to make that promise to give unto the Lord. You know what? One day in heaven, people will come to you of different tongue, of different, and will thank you for sending missionaries. I did not see missionary use, but one of these days in heaven, I know I will be in heaven. Are you sure that you're going to heaven?
Amen.
Be sure. Because the trumpet will sound. My church and the next church is a Jehovah's Witnesses. We are just close by each other. We are just, we are neighbors. I told my member of the church, if you are not part of the rapture, you go to the next church. Because they do not believe in going to heaven. But we need to have hands that gives. Those letters there, these flags there, are peoples, my friends, that we need to go. We need to have hands that give. Hands that will be committing to the Lord. Hands that will be, willing to be a channel of blessing for the mission field. Not only that, I will close. We need to have also knees that will pray. When the Bible said, pray therefore the whole world of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now let me tell you, the church that missionary you started is in Cebu. I went there as a Bible student. He made a very big building that has capacity of 5,000 people during his time before he go to America because of his sickness. A very big building. And during that time, he's just running, 100 people. With a big auditorium. So only one will sit on each chair. Long chairs. During the time. So he goes to America. Never see.
You know what? But today, the church in the Philippines, in Cebu, is running about 13,000 people every Sunday. He's in heaven today. But did you know what? That his work, we have heard about great artists. We have heard about great, you know what, singers in the world. But when they die, they just fade away.
That's right.
But when a missionary die, their work is living.
Yes.
And it is alive and telling stories today. Amen? Who is that? Abel? When he died, his story is still to be... And I want your story as a church to continue. The church should not die. And one way that the church will never die is missions. Because it will continue and continue on. Long, long way when you're in heaven already. It will still continue. Because your work will be going and going. Because missions is the heartbeat of God. And when there is no heart, it will die. I don't want you to die. Let's keep this heartbeat pumping. And the one that pumps is God's living word. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
If you bow your heads and close your eyes with me. I thank the Lord for the ministries that are represented tonight, the testimonies we've heard. I know I've been challenged. And, you know, as the piano plays, I know God's spoken to your heart. He's spoken to mine this evening. What would He have you do for the cause of Christ? What step would He have you take? Maybe it is praying. Maybe we need to pray more. I know we do. Maybe it's the hands that need to give and eyes that need to see. And I thank the Lord for that message. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your messengers tonight. Thank You for Brother Knickerbocker and his wife bringing them. I pray, God, that You would help us to see Your mission in this world and how that we might be involved. And Lord, I pray that You'd broaden our vision. Help us to pray for our dear brothers that we've seen tonight, to take their prayer letters and just to lift them before the throne of grace. Protect them. Bless them. And in Your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, and talk to the Lord during our invitation.